I had a wild experience this week. It was the morning after my wife flew out to America. She was still on the plane. And got up early in the morning, woke up the kids, took my son Yehuda and with his suitcase, put him on his tender, on his van, sending him off to Novshon, a place where he stays for a couple of days. And I asked my daughter the question. You know, she wanted me to wake her up relatively early. I said, "Devorah, why do you need to be woken up so early?" She says to me, "So that I can make myself food." Okay, good reason, you need to make yourself food. So I got her up, I got my son up, I sent Yehuda off, and I went to daven. Came back from davening, and there on the kitchen table, waiting to greet me, is a toast inside a tin foil with a couple of apples, a couple bags of crackers. And I say to myself, "Oh, so nice, my daughter made me breakfast." But I don't go for the toast or the crackers, the apples and whatever it is, obviously. So she forgot her food at home. And I'm thinking to myself, "Hey, Nebuch, this poor kid, you know, my youngest daughter, her mother just took off to America, left her behind. And now she's going to go to school and she's going to be sitting in class knowing that when the break comes, she doesn't have anything to eat." So I grabbed up the food, put it in a bag, and, you know, ran down the stairs en route to the Beis Yaakov. And I get out of the building, and all of a sudden I hear crack. Kol Hashem Shever Arazim. It wasn't such a windy day, but the cedar tree or the pine tree or whatever it was relatively old. And all of a sudden I see this massive thing just in 1 second on the floor. Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. Even the cars that it fell on top of miraculously, you know, emerged unscathed. The only thing that got beaten up was there was a fence. The fence got totaled. But, you know, it was pretty interesting. So for the next hour or so, the road was closed, and I got to see, you know, the whole team with their chainsaws and everything doing an operation and making sure that you can go on the road again, and so my daughter got her food, and we all lived happily ever after. But whenever I see a tree fall down, and we had, you know, we had a case over here next door last year, if you guys remember. They needed to decapitate this big pine tree and take it down. And I always think to myself, you know, it's so sad. You know how many years it took to make that tree that size with that power, that majestic? And then in 1 second, like what I just saw, crack, yeah? Or next door, in a matter of a couple of hours, gone, finished. What took 50 years, 100 years, 200 years in order to produce is gone in a second. And it's a pasuk in the Torah, Yod Meitzah Sadeh, that a person is a tree. We're all very much like trees in a lot of ways. So Baruch Hashem, we don't really have that problem, because even though a person builds himself 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 120 years, but when it's all over, and that happens in a second too, it's not really a waste. Because your body stays down here, but your neshama goes michayel al chayel and somewhere else. And eventually, you have tchiyas ha-mesim, you have olam haba, and the guf and the neshama rejoins. And whatever we produced in this world, so will be revisited. The growth really never stops. But it gets one to thinking about the topic of growth. A tree grows, sunlight, water, minerals. But how do we grow? How do we grow? We need to be healthy. We need to have all the physical components. But then there's the basic, there's a basic of just, you know, that a person needs and a person thrives under certain conditions. But what's the component? What is it that makes us grow? And it's a topic that I wouldn't say it's really one of the topics in this week's Parsha, but it's definitely contingent on a lot of things that we see over here and what I'd like to talk about for a couple of minutes today. This week we move on to Yitzchak Avinu. I told you last week that's it for Avram for this year, but Yitzchak Avinu is the star of this week's Parsha. The Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoilid es Yitzchak. So these are the toldos of Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoilid es Yitzchak. Well, obviously, if he's Yitzchak ben Avram, so then Avram was hoilid es Yitzchak. So Rashi has the pshat. Everybody knows that Avram hoilid es Yitzchak was because people, the late Sonny Ador, started not nice rumors that Yitzchak wasn't really Avram's kid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that Yitzchak looked exactly like Avram. He was a spitting image. And therefore everybody knew Avram hoilid es Yitzchak. There's another pshat. The pshat the Svarim HaKadoshim say is that Avram hoilid es Yitzchak means the midah of Avram Avinu was mailed the midah of Yitzchak. Avram Avinu's Mida, everybody knows. Chesed l'Avram. Avram was the Ish Chesed. Avram gave to the whole world. Avram changed the world and built the world. Avram hoilid es Yitzchak says that the Midas HaChesed, by definition, was Meilid Yitzchak. Why? Because Yitzchak was not Chesed, it was Din. And since Avram was Chesed, so therefore had to be Meilid Din. The natural production of Chesed is Din. Does that make any sense? Here we know from Parshas Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world with Din, Rashi tells us. But he saw it wouldn't be Niskayim, so he added Rachamim. So you could say that Din naturally produces Rachamim if you wanted to have a Kiyum. But what does it mean that Chesed produces Din? That's one question. What does it mean, Avram hoilid es Yitzchak, that Chesed produces Din? Yitzchak and Rivka are married. Yitzchak and Rivka don't have children, can't have children. And this happens by Yosser Loit, Tzadik ben Tzadik. And then they have the two twins, Yaakov and Esav. And the Pasuk says, Vayav Yitzchak es Esav, that Yitzchak loved Esav, why? Kitzayid bepiv. Because he hunted him good stuff. Gave him good shtel. For Rivka Heves es Yaakov. And the famous question is that how did Yitzchak miss it? He didn't know who Esav was. He was perceptive. Fine, he was blind, but he was perceptive. So Rashi gives us the pshat, Kitzayid Bepiv. Number one, he was bribed. Bepiv shel Yitzchak. He gave him good stuff to eat. But the second pshat is that Kitzayid Bepiv shel Esav, that Shayetzarum Rameu Berdvarov. He said the right things. He was a smooth talker. There's a wild Arizal. The Arizal says that Kitzayid Bepiv doesn't necessarily mean the hunt of the animal. It doesn't necessarily mean the soft, sweet-talking words. There's something deeper than that. Kitzayid Bepiv means that Yitzchak smelled, felt, the tzayid, the hunt, of Peh, of Torah Shebal Peh in Esav. Esav one day would have a descendant called Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gerim. And when Yitzchak smelled Esav, when Yitzchak felt Esav, he felt Torah Shebal Peh. He felt Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the master of Torah Shebal Peh. Everything comes from Rabbi Akiva. Sifra, Sifri, everything that just, what's it called? Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean? First of all, what does it mean that he smelled an ace of Tarsha Baal Peh? And second of all, everybody realizes that the Gershon is Geyer is Kekot and Shanoel a dummy. And when Rabbi Akiva becomes a Ger, he had nothing to do with Esav anymore.
But in the first place, there are other non-Jewish people that said to me.
No, but Rabbi Akiva was a what's it called? Rabbi Akiva was the master of Tarsha Baal Peh, and he came out of Esav. It's Arizal. The Arizal says that Yaakov Avinu, when he smelled Esav, when he came into contact with Esav, he smelled the tzayid of Rabbi Akiva, the hunt of Tarsha Baal Peh. What does that mean? What's the pshat? So what does it mean that chesed produces din, holidus yitzchak? And what does it mean, sayed bepiv, that he felt and he smelled Torah Shabal Peh in Esav? And just one third question, once we're talking about Torah Shabal Peh, to round it out, is that a very interesting, what's it called, relatively famous Zayar HaKadosh. Everybody knows that we don't have the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah anymore. And Sheikh Knesset HaGedolah took it away. We couldn't handle it anymore. They wanted to take away the Yetzer Hara of Arayis. But then the Gemara says that the chickens stopped laying eggs. And the world was going to be destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, or Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said, you know, we can't go there. The whole world is not going to exist. The Zayar HaKadosh says that too. He says that the Yetzer Hara of Arayis is like Mutter La'olam. People won't have children. But then it says something else. Dilmole Yetzer Hara, that without the Yetzer Hara of Arayis, Chedvesa Deshmaitza Loyla Have. People would not enjoy their learning. People would not have a geschmack in learning if there was no Yetzer Hara of Arayis. Now this is a medrash plea, right? I mean, you could think of two things which you would say are like diametrically opposed. The Yetzer Hara of Arayis, you know, the reason that they don't want anybody to have a smartphone. And Chabur is on Thursday night, Chedvesa Deshmaitza. But the Zayar says it's exactly the same thing. And if you don't have one, you're not going to have the other. You don't have that Yetzer Hara of Arayis, the people won't enjoy them. What in the world does that mean? I'll be makariv it with one step. They'll say all kinds of tiras over here, but this is authoritative. There's a Gain. The Vilna Gain says, and think about it, there are two things in the world that every person, right, every member of the human race, be'etzem really lost, and he spends his life trying to find it again. What are they? One of them is Torah, right? Because we all learned it in the womb, and then we go try to find it back. Also, every one of our neshamas, you know, comes from the Tzur Yisrael, comes from, whatever, the quarry, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every one of us is a chilek elakami, has a chilek elakami mal, and we're trying to reattach. On the other hand, Zivu. Adam Rishon and Chava, they were one. Adam lost Chava, and now he's a chazer achareha. That's what a person tries to do. So apparently there is this common denominator over here between finding a wife, the Yetzer Hara of Arayis, that's where it all comes from, and Limud HaTorah. But let's put it together. What exactly is the picture telling us over here? And it's a very, very big insight for life. We live in amazing times. Great times, times where things are happening, you know, on steroids. Let's say 2020, when Corona broke out, the whole world changed. And, the President of the United States, he wanted to create a vaccine. And he had something called Project Warp Speed. Project Warp Speed is not just for the Corona vaccine. Project Warp Speed is how the world has been, developing over the last 5 years since then. You had Corona with Zoom Shear and Zoom Seder and all the different things that Corona came out. The world went crazy topsy-turvy. And then in 2023, you have the world war with Hamas, the war with Iran, the bombing in Lebanon. The world is going nuts. Trump, Maduro, Kama, Trump, Maduro, Basra. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole thing is going crazy. But I'll share something with you. Last year, exactly this time, I breathed a sigh of relief. Because when you had a positive result in the American presidential election, I said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I thought that everybody was totally crazy. We lived in a world for 3-4 years or whatever it is where, you know, l'kol hapachas, there are at least 3 genders in the world. Maybe 4, 5, or 6. But then, you know, they elect a president of the United States who's, you know, totally against that stuff. I thought, how could this other person, like, even have a chance? Like, the other person, like, that, there's no shaykhus to anything. I thought, okay, at least people are becoming a little bit more normal. People get it. They still get it. The world is still a little bit sane. Last week, I changed my mind. Anybody who lives in the New York area realizes that, you know, whatever the new mayor-elect is just, he has a lot of the same, you know, components, which maybe, you know, allowed the president to get elected. He's a personality, and he has charisma. But his policies just make no sense. We're going to have free transportation, and we're going to have free food, and we don't really need police anymore. We're going to have, you know, therapists instead of police. And everybody's going to live happily ever after. Uh-huh. Karl Marx tried that quite a long time ago. He called himself a democratic socialist, whatever that means. But communism and socialism, the utopian idea, it sounds really, really nice, you know? I have to belong to a society, make it sound Jewish. I have to belong to a tzibur. But if I don't feel like working too hard, don't worry about it, because the tzibur will take care of me. I'll have health coverage, and I'll have food to eat, and I'll have a roof over my head, because the tzibur will take care of me. The government will take care of me. The tzibur will take care of me. A socialism. Communism. The community. Sounds so great. They did it in kibbutzim here all. Why doesn't it work? And the answer is pashut. Is because the nature of the human race, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, is that unless I hunt for my livelihood, unless I try to go find something and get it for myself, and I'm mashlim my own chisaron, I don't feel like a human being. I feel like a schlep. I feel like a nothing. And on the flip side, the whole geschmack of life is going and working hard for something, and then taking it and getting it and growing with it. Simcha means is that I'm becoming broader, I'm becoming bigger. I chased after something and I got it. So communism can't work. Because the tzibur is a beautiful concept, but if every yachid in that tzibur has absolutely no incentive to work, then you're not a functioning human being. You're a lemach. I don't have to do anything. The society will take care of me. And that goes against human nature. Everybody knows from the Ramchal, from Silas Yisharim, Derech Hashem, all of the Svarim really. It goes back further. It goes back to Torah Shebaal Peh. Concept of Nama Dechisufa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world because the Baal Chesed, what does he need us for? So why don't you just put us straight in Olam Haba? What do we have to work for? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do the ultimate chesed. And the ultimate chesed is that he has to give me the independence to either succeed or fail. To hunt and to find and to acquire and to obtain and to build myself. And if I do that and he rewards me for it, that's the ultimate chesed. That's what it means when we say that Avram hayled es Yitzchak. The midah of chesed of Avram Avinu, if it was just pure chesed, you know, invite the malachim in, give them everything, and everybody, and give free shiurim, and this and that, but you don't have to work for it, that's not chesed anymore, because eventually you're going to feel sick about yourself. So Yitzchak had to come in and say, listen, but there's got to be a structure to the chesed. You have to earn the chesed. Give the guy a job. Don't give him a free handout. At least a loan. It's got to make sense. Let him enjoy the hunt. Let him enjoy going after it. That's what it means, Avram Hayledes Yitzchak. There's a dual relationship between finding a wife and finding the Torah. Why? Kadosh Baruch Hu set up a situation. The most important things in life are intrinsically part of you, and you don't have them, so you feel chaser. Right? Just like food, you don't have food, you feel chaser. Air, you feel chaser. You don't have a wife, you feel chaser. You don't have Torah, you feel chaser. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, took it away, and now you got to hunt to get it back. And that geschmack, that click, that oomph, when you find it, that's the best feeling in the world. You get married, you're more than you were before. You say a pshat in a rajba that's true and feels good, you become a bigger person. It's that click. And that's the chedvus of the shmeitzah. That's the joy. That's the joy of chidushei Torah, or really bringing back Torah. That's also the chedvus of the zivug. That's the two come together. But what does it mean that that Yitzchak Avinu loved Esav because tzayid bepiv, and he smelled in him Torah shebaal peh? So perhaps it's exactly this nekuda as well. The number one quality that you have in order to be successful in Torah shebaal peh. Again, Torah shebaal peh is not the Torah shebiksav. It's not words. It's ideas, and it's a mesira, and it's something that you need to be omel for. It's elusive. The only way you get it is if you run after it. And that's what Yitzchak saw in Esav. Esav had the midah of being an ish yodei tzayid. He knew how to hunt. Ish sadeh. He knew how to get out there in the field and run after his prey. And ki tzayid bepiv means is that the hunt that he went after, it was in his mouth. He fed himself through his own hard work. If you want to be matzliach in Torah shebaal peh, that's the only way to do it. You got to hunt. You got to work. And then, tzayid bepiv means put it in your own mouth. Problem was is that Esav stopped after the first step. And he figured, listen, I can feed myself, so what do I need any of this other stuff for? And then he was kaifer, he figured, I'm totally independent, that I don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first step of anything is that you have to be a hunter. You have to go after it. And that's the sipuk, and that's the simcha that a person gets in his marriage, and also in his marriage to the Torah, his marriage to Torah shebaal peh. That's the symbol of Rabbi Akiva being a descendant of Esav. Rabbi Akiva is Torah shebaal peh, and Esav represents that midah of being a roidef, of running after something, trapping it, and then putting it in your mouth to be mashlech Esav. I will tell people, you know, whatever it is. One of the projects that I'm, you know, very, very proud of that I had a hand in starting in yeshiva, it happened last week, the institution of chaburas. When I first came to yeshiva, my first year, so the mashkiach really started, he made up a couple of chaburas or whatever it is, and you know, it happened the first year, it happened second year, then not, then whatever it is. But, you know, the institution of chaburas started, I don't know, 30 years now. I always say, every chabura that one of you guys say, I don't like when you take off Seder, but you know, what are you going to do? You know, it's sometimes halacha vein merin came. Every chabura that somebody says, though, I get dividends. But what's this? What's the secret of chaburas? What's the secret of it? So the secret of it is very, very pashut. Is that when you say a chabura and you work on it and you chase after it, and something which was elusive to you before, whether it's just clarity on a particular point or whether it's more than that, so then you were mashlim yourself. You grew. You were missing something and now you brought it back. There's no better feeling in the world. There's no better feeling in the world of working really, really hard on a piece of Torah and then being able to get and give it over and then people appreciate what you're saying. It's the best. But that's the dual relationship of Torah Shebaal Peh and Kedushas HaZivug. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in the world where we have to earn our chesed. You could say such a thing. He's constantly giving us, but he doesn't want it to be a free gift. Avram Hoilides Yitzchak. You got to earn it yourself. It has to be with din. Not pure din, because otherwise it would explode. We need the rachamim after the din. It starts out with chesed. The din crystallizes the chesed and makes it into a truer chesed. And that's really what we're doing. We're justifying our existence, both in terms of being independent and earning our schar, but also in terms of our limud haTorah. You can only be kaina Torah Shebaal Peh if you're roidef achareha, if you're an ish yodeat sayid ish sodeh, and you end up with sayid b'piv. So that's my bracha to everybody, is that you should all be roidefim. Learn from Esau a little bit. That midah of Esau was perfect, and Yitzchak, you know, he got it right. The only way you get Torah Shebaal Peh, the only way you are memali yechisaron, is by working hard. It doesn't happen easy. You just want the ish yedei atzayid, ish sadeh, you know, kitzayid bepiv, or just, you know, the shtelp shot. So that will get you so far, you know, maybe you'll be in the base medrash a little bit more often, you know. But to be mashlim yourself, and to make yourself grow, that only comes with hard work and the appreciation that every shtickle Torah I produce, every shtickle Torah that I refined, so I'm coming back to myself. And that is Chedvus and Shmaisen. When it clicks and you say, that's the way that it's supposed to be, that's the best feeling that there is. Have a good Shabbos.